people become litigators or regulatory attorneys and then find themselves later in their career suddenly having to do contracts. And they don't have those practical skills to do them at that point. The only real education they have is case law and what they would learn in law school. But that doesn't help you when you're looking at an assignment provision that was marked up by the other side and they change these four words and you don't know, is that okay? Is that not okay? When should I accept this change? When should I not? That's a lot of why I wanted to go into this, was to really focus in on the practical skills that I learned in my career and be able to pass those on to lawyers who find themselves needing those practical skills as well.
Today on Law Next, is there a better way to train lawyers to draft and negotiate contracts? Laura Frederick thinks so. This former Tesla and Big Law commercial contracts attorney is the founder of How to Contract, a learning platform that trains lawyers and professionals how to draft and negotiate contracts in the real world. She's also a managing attorney of her own firm, Laura Frederick Law, in Austin, Texas, where she focuses on drafting and negotiating vendor supply, services, and technology agreements. Laura will be joining me today to talk about her unique approach to training, contract drafting, and negotiation. I am Bob Ambrogi, and this is Law Next, the podcast that features the innovators and entrepreneurs who are driving what's next in law. Before we get to Laura Frederick, let me take a moment to tell you about the advertisers who so generously support Law Next. Being chained to the office is a thing of the past. Busy lawyers trust MarisCase to manage their practice wherever they go. MarisCase helps lawyers simplify their billing, streamline their documents, and automate their time tracking. MarisCase does the work for you, so you can focus on what's really important in your day. Visit MarisCase at MarisCase.com. That's MerusCase.com today. Now, on to today's conversation. Laura Frederick, thank you for joining me today.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, you are the founder of How to Contract, and one of the premises of what you're doing is that lawyers don't really kind of learn how to negotiate and draft contracts for the real world. So what's wrong with how lawyers traditionally learn about contracts?
Yeah, I think the way we traditionally learned about contracts worked in a former age when we had that apprentice system built into our careers. So law students would learn the theoretical, the background, the big picture, case law-based education on contracts, and they'd get a job at a law firm, and then the law firm would teach them the actual skills associated with drafting and negotiating contracts. And they'd work there for a while, maybe eventually go in-house and take those skills with them. Well, nowadays, as you know, we don't have that one clear traditional path anymore. There are certainly lawyers who do learn that way, and it's the way I learned, and it's a great way. But for so many lawyers, they're just graduating law school, and they go in-house, or they graduate law school, and they set up their own practice. Or in some cases, people become litigators or regulatory attorneys, and then find themselves later in their career suddenly having to do contracts. And they don't have those practical skills to do them at that point. The only real education they have is case law and what they would learn in law school, but that doesn't help you when you're looking at an assignment provision that was marked up by the other side and they change these four words and you don't know, is that okay? Is that not okay? When should I accept this change? When should I not? The kind of practical job skills associated with drafting and negotiating has just not been taught either in law schools or to a lot of people in the market. So that's a lot of why I wanted to go into this, was to really focus in on the practical skills that I learned in my career and be able to pass those on to lawyers who find themselves needing those practical skills as well.
So is the problem in part that lawyers who aren't taught about contracting in the real world basically see it as a, somewhat of a black and white proposition, this clause versus this clause, and don't understand kind of the fluid nature of negotiations that goes into this?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So the typically, most contract training now is focused on kind of the right way to do it. There's a, here's a clause, it's a model clause, use this and you're good, because it covers everything. But the problem is that's not true, because in, you know, I've worked in large companies, small companies, technology companies, energy companies. And what is a model clause isn't the same across industries, across deals even. And those model clauses change, and we have to, you know, often work off somebody else's preferred approach. And so the current training really focuses on this is what your provision should say, providing equal emphasis on all the different provisions, and here's all the model versions. So what I'm trying to say is let's look at it more contextually. So you're doing this deal, it's your company needs this service, or you need to make the sale. What's the most important thing that you need to get? And that answer is not just about contract law. That's only, or even applicable law, whether it's intellectual property law or other terms. The answer really is a contextual to what are the company's priorities? What are their, what's their risk appetite? What are they willing to take risks on and not others? What's their technology play? What, how does their technology work? What risks do they have? So learning how to do contracts is really about that context and learning to read the, what I say is a million different inputs that go into any particular contract, because you have the law, legal inputs, but then you have your operational inputs for your company or your client. And then you have your negotiation inputs, which is what can I get the other side to agree to, you know, combined with so many other things, a financial, revenue recognition, regulatory requirements. There's just a huge amount of data that contract lawyers need to think about. And so what I'm trying to train is how to make those judgment calls, how you handle somebody who in your negotiations is saying it's a deal breaker. Or you represent the small company who's against the big guys, and how do you approach that as a lawyer representing your client to get you the best transaction?
How did you come to this realization, perhaps, that training, that lawyers were not being adequately trained in this? I mean, what was your background and what led you to start this company in the first place, or this service in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's been something I've been wanting to do, or at least saw the need for, going back to being a young associate. I've been practicing for about 25 plus years. And when I started with the law firms I was in, I was always looking for the answer, because I was so nervous and so frustrated and so, you know, scared that I was going to screw everything up. I wanted someone to say, yes, do it this way, and that then you're good. But the problem is it's very hard to learn that. And it's not really any written out anywhere. So that wisdom that lawyers develop over time through experience, through, you know, seeing how deals work, where they go wrong, what works, we haven't captured that wisdom anywhere, because a lot of the training that's done is done by people who study contracts and they study case law. Well, that's one kind of input, but it's not reflective of those of us who have spent, you know, 20 years in the trenches actually drafting and negotiate. We approach things very differently than somebody who studies the case law. So, and part of that is because our inputs and our business goals are another layer on top of what the court might do with a particular provision. We're also worried about how it'll play out, how the operations will go, if there are disagreements, how those will work. So we're focused more on those practical realities. So anyway, going back, it's when I started my career, I was desperate to learn, desperate to get the answers, and there wasn't any resource. So my whole career, I've been looking for people to give me the answers. And the closest I ever came, I was an associate at Morrison & Foerster, and I actually wanted it. And so they suggested I organize a weekly training session. And so I did, and it was every Friday we'd gather for lunch, and I'd find some senior associate or partner, and they'd spend a half hour just off the top of their head telling us how you draft and negotiate a termination provision or a license grant. And we worked through it, just literally telling the inside baseball secrets of how they looked at it. And so that was the most useful training I've ever had in my career. So I've always been trying to replicate that and never found it. So I finally decided it was time for me to create it.
And if I understand it right, you started by kind of posting tips on LinkedIn and evolved from there.
Yeah, it was a little bit random. I really didn't have a plan for this. In my head, I was always thought it would be great to be able to train people and share what I knew. But yeah, it was August of 2020. Like many people, we're isolated at home. And so turned to LinkedIn for connection. And I saw someone post about a 30-day challenge that this person, I don't even remember who, had said, you know, I posted every day for 30 days. And I thought, well, I don't know that I could do 30 days worth. I probably have enough to say to get to 10 days, and then I'll probably give up. But I started posting just some ideas and things like I'm talking about, where it's sort of the lawyers in the wisdom that we gain from drafting and negotiating contracts over many years and many different situations. And so I started posting some simple advice about that and immediately saw this interest, and people got really excited, and we started having these really robust conversations about the topic, whether it was, you know, governing law and how you pick that, or a license grant and what's the right wording, or an exception to confidential information definition. I would post a simple concept of some piece of wisdom I'd learned. And then the magic really was in the comments, because so many people came and wanted to talk about it, because we really don't have a forum to talk about these things amongst ourselves. And so that it kind of ballooned from there, and people were asking me to collect all the tips I started posting. And so I published a book, and then people wanted more. You're going to do training. And so that's where I finally came up and started How to Contract as a training platform, as a way for people to get this kind of practical training.
So you said earlier in the conversation that so much of this is contextual and understanding the context. So how do you train around something that is so, a process that is so contextual?
And that's exactly right. It's very contextual. That's part of the reason I think no one has been training on this, because the right answer is almost always, well, it depends.
Right.
But that
you said earlier people were looking for the right answer, and I was thinking, well, is there a right answer?
Exactly. There's not. But what there are some factors that we can teach. If I look at it, when I think about my training, I look at, okay, I've been doing this 25 years, lots of different companies, lots of different roles. I've learned a lot over that. My head is full of a lot of different pieces of information that I pull out and use when I negotiate contracts. So I look at myself, and then I look at somebody who hasn't had that experience, who's a smart person. They went to law school. Maybe they've got experience drafting or working in another type of law. And then I look at that delta between us on this specific issue of drafting and negotiating. And I think, well, I can explain, for example, you know, I'll use the exceptions or exclusions to a confidential information definition. Every NDA defines confidential information, and every NDA has exclusions. So what I can teach is, here's the exclusion. Here are ways that people word it. If you're this kind of company, you might want to be really careful about that and don't agree to it if these factors exist. But if you're this kind of company, don't worry about it too much, because you're going to be protected in this way. So it's providing some context and some guidelines for people to figure out how you decide it depends, and to figure out what the answer is to that. Because you could say, well, they'll figure it out eventually on their own. But to me, that's a huge disservice to the lawyers coming up who are trying to figure this out. And we're going to say, sorry, wait 20 years and then you'll know. You know, our poor clients who don't have this, who don't have access to some of the lawyers who have that experience, but they we need to find better ways to train the lawyers who are doing this work. And I think this effort is really going towards providing more value. It's not just every severability provision should say this. It's, hey, don't waste your time on severability. It's almost one in 20 million contracts that's going to matter. Focus on payment provisions and making sure the payment has these things. Focus on termination and making sure you're really clear on when you could terminate and what it means when you do. So it's a very much a real world, what matters at a practical level. And based on my personal experience, but then bringing in, especially in the LinkedIn posts, all these different perspectives. Most of my LinkedIn posts, I get somewhere between 40 to 60 comments from practitioners who are all weighing in with their perspective. Oh no, Laura, you said this, but actually my experience is this, which I love because then we're all getting to learn from each other. Because as I said, there is no right answer. We're all just kind of doing the best we can with a lot of imperfect information. But the more we talk about that and the more we recognize the reality is none of us really know the answer. And we're all just using our skills and knowledge to make the best decision for our clients. But all this information really helps us make those good decisions.
They used to say that law school is all about teaching you to think like a lawyer. It sounds like you're about teaching people to think like a contract lawyer to get them to understand the variables and the implications of those variables and proceed accordingly.
Yeah, and learn to make those risks. I mean, because ultimately I see contracts as a risk management tool. It's not, we don't draft contracts to sit on a shelf and look beautiful and be perfect. You know, they're a business tool. And especially these days for most businesses, we don't have the time to make each contract perfect with perfect language, with perfect everything. You know, I've had days in house where I have to review 10 contracts that day, 200 pages of stuff, and you just triage. And you're like a MASH unit where you just get through. But helping people understand how to manage the risks is really the goal. It's not about this is the perfect contract. It's how do we help you manage the risk through the time and resources you have to work on this contract?
Laura Frederick started How to Contract based on her own experience, seeing how hard it can be for younger lawyers to learn the skills to effectively draft and negotiate agreements. But with so many technology products now on the market purporting to help lawyers in the contracting process, what does Frederick think about the usefulness of these tools? I'll ask her about that in just a few moments, but first, let's hear about the sponsors who so generously support Law Next. Paradigm brings together five world-class legal software solutions to help legal professionals manage, automate, and grow their firm. With Practice Panther, Meriscase, Bill for Time, TrustBooks, and HeadNote, lawyers have the tools to seamlessly operate all aspects of their firm, in the office or on the go. Learn why more than 40,000 lawyers use its products at joinparadigm.com. That's joinparadigm.com. Welcome back to Law Next. My guest, Laura Frederick, is the founder of How to Contract, a learning platform that trains lawyers and professionals how to draft and negotiate contracts in the real world. So in that real world, how useful are technology products designed to help lawyers draft and review contracts? How much of what lawyers do in contracting can be done by technology? As we return, I'll ask Laura about that. We also talk about the division of labor in contracting between lawyers and other professionals within an organization, the value of a contract playbook, and how exactly How to Contract teaches contracting. I'm curious, since I spend so much of my time writing about technology, and these days that means so much time writing about contract technology, and I wonder what your thoughts are on the extent to which some of the technology products that are being developed to help lawyers or legal professionals in general on drafting contracts, to what extent are they, in fact, helpful?
I think they're fantastic tools, and I'm so excited that the market has gotten to this place to be able to create, you know, that we've got these tools out there to help us. because there's so many tasks that I had to do as a newer lawyer that luckily people don't have to do, you know, where you go through each section cross-reference and then you got to flip through and try and find all the other references. And, you know, there's a level of proofreading that these contract technologies can help you do. So that's wonderful. And access to former clauses and things like that. There's definitely a lot more ability to tap into existing information. But what they don't do, and I don't think personally, I don't know that they'll ever be able to do, which is that replace the lawyer. And the reason is because lawyers bring that judgment. And what we really need lawyers for and professionals who know how to do contracts is the ability to take in those, what I call the million data points that might go into a contract, meaning all of the company's risk management, all of the company's policies, the technology, the law, so many different factors, as well as the human psychology of the other side. And you can read the other side and they're being difficult. And okay, they're really being difficult. What do I really need? Where am I going to focus? Which risks in this contract are the most important, which aren't? And that's the part that I don't know that contract technology can get us through. I think it will continue to be, you know, a version of the mentoring that used to exist in law firms and that I'm trying to recreate with this platform is to provide that experienced lawyer judgment passed along to people who are still learning how to do it. And honestly, people who already know how to do it. And that's been the biggest surprise for me is, for example, I had a conference in January and I think we had 60% of the people who bought tickets had 6 years or more of experience. Because they are the people who actually appreciate even more than the newer lawyers, how much they don't know. And that there are all these things that they kind of know a little bit about, for example, if you're using the exclusions from confidential information, they know a little bit about that, but should it be public domain, publicly available? You know, there's a lot of wording issues and they don't have time to kind of figure all of that out. Right. So my goal is to condense it, but I find the experienced lawyers are the ones who really appreciate the training the most.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear what you said about some of the technology products out there, because that's kind of been my impression is that they can maybe get you to a point, and that point largely is telling you, in a sense, what you already know. I mean, they build off your... If you're at a company, they're going to build off your playbook within your company, maybe build off some models that you provide. But I haven't yet seen the technology that can account for the negotiation process and the fact that there is another side to this negotiation. Technology can predict what you want within your company or tell you what you should have within your company, but it can't predict who's going to be on the other side of that negotiation.
It is. It's so complicated, those negotiations, because you could have the simple one-page purchase order, or you could have the 200-page, you know, 10-year supply agreement. Yeah. And everything about those two experiences is different. And so, you know, being able to handle both. And then there's also, and this is a big part of what I teach, is the operational part of being a contracts lawyer. So most contracts lawyers I know, it certainly was true for me, yeah, they draft and negotiate contracts, but they don't sit in a room just doing that. They are advising the business teams. So when the business team has a problem with the product or the service or whatever, they call that lawyer. And the lawyer needs to know how to be able to advise them, well, you're going to be making a warranty claim. Let's make sure you document this. Okay, you're going to be careful in your communications with the vendor. We're going to be doing these kind of things. So there's a lot of that that part of what we do that isn't really a litigator's job because it hasn't gotten to a litigation point, but there are operational issues. So I see that as all part of the same role, and I think in most companies it is, which is managing the contract both drafting and negotiation, and then the operations. And so I really focus a lot on what's been my experience, what do I see work over my career? And I think there are some standard practices about things, which I can see with my LinkedIn posts that most of us do it the same way and approach things the same way. There's some variation, but I think there's a lot of collective wisdom And so I'm trying to capture that, what I know, and then add to it with the LinkedIn information I'm getting to make sure I can give people good information.
Yeah. I mean, as you've kind of suggested in a number of your answers, that this negotiating contracts, at least within a corporate setting, is a hybrid business and legal function. So I wonder what you think in terms of how much of it should be left to the lawyers and how much of it can be handled by other professionals within a company.
Yeah, I love having, and that's one of the first things I do when I go to a company is to see what the allocation of work is with the professionals in the company. Because they, you know, for example, I do a lot of work with vendor contracts, and I'm supported in those roles as in-house counsel by a supply chain team. And so in some companies, we've got fantastic supply chain teams that, you know, can negotiate contracts in many times better than the lawyers because they've been doing it for so long. They know vendor contracts. Maybe they don't do the indemnification or the real technical IP, but they can handle a lot of the contract. So it really depends. So if you have high quality personnel like that, then the lawyer doesn't need to do as much. And really, in when I've been supported by folks like that, my job is really just checking on what they're doing. I talk to the other lawyer. I just keep my role to a minimum of the purely technical indemnification, limited liability, and a couple other decisions like that. But then I've worked in other companies that don't have that robustly trained supply chain staff. And in those cases, I end up doing almost everything because they just don't have the skill sets to draft and negotiate the contract. So I think there's a huge opportunity for companies to save money and reduce risk by effectively training non-lawyers in the contract space so that they can take more over from the lawyers.
Do most companies have contract playbooks, or should they have contract playbooks?
There's some, it really depends. So the big companies generally do. They have established processes, but then most smaller and mid-sized companies do not. That there's not that many people negotiating. There are two or three lawyers who work on contracts, and the amount of work for them to try and collect all of that information is overwhelming because they've already got way too much on their plate. So how are they going to sit down and create this playbook? So there's some techniques I've seen work over the years where, for example, we might task a new lawyer before they get fully ramped up into their job. We task them with collecting that, you know, corporate intelligence about how we do our contracts and documenting it somewhere. But absent that or hiring an outside vendor, it's really hard for companies at a mid-size or small level to put together all those playbooks.
How does what you've built here, how to contract, how does it work? If I'm a lawyer who's interested in upping my real-world contract skills, what can you do for me?
No, that's a great question. I've just gotten through. We launched a year ago, last March 2021. I have to think about it. And we're coming up on the year anniversary. So we're getting ready to launch. Oh, thank you. We're getting ready to launch How to Contract 2.0 is what I'm calling it. So we've got three ways to learn. The first is the membership, where I have a couple different ways that I provide training. There's a weekly videos and contract tools like checklists or negotiation scripts or annotated provisions. So we provide those through our membership as well as other benefits. And then we've got events. We just had the How to Contract conference in January, and we had almost 400 people come to that. And so I want to keep doing
events. That's pretty impressive for our first conference.
I was very excited. It just, every time I turn around, I can see just so many lawyers and professionals are so interested in learning more. So it was a great event. So yeah, we're going to keep doing, I'll keep doing that every year, every January, but we're going to add workshops as well that talk about narrow issues. The next workshop we're going to do is going to be on how to draft data security and privacy contracts and contract provisions. And then the third way is through courses. And we're going to be launching our first course in a few months and provide that as a way for people to learn too.
And what is it, what does the, I mean, you kind of talk about a community behind this site. What does that look like? How does that reinforce what you're doing.
Yeah, I think we have a LinkedIn group that is private, and that's where a lot of the community takes place. That I call it the contract help desk, because our members in this community will ask questions, say, you know, I've got a vendor, and we can do it anonymously or under their byline. So they've got a vendor, and this is the kind of situation I'm dealing with. What do you think about this? Have you ever seen this? What did you do? And so people can share experiences that way. And then the other way is just in the daily LinkedIn posts. It's a daily opportunity to kind of connect with other people excited about contracts, talk about all talking about a common issue or technique or point of practice. So I find there's a lot of us who kind of talk together every day that way. And I think that's really promoted that community as well.
I was asking before about some of the legal tech products out there in the contract space, and I should have mentioned then, but I'll mention now that you also have, as part of your video series, this contract tech showcase that's hosted by a woman whose name I'm blanking on right now, I think.
Flo Nicholas.
Okay, Flo Nicholas. But really kind of sit down with a vendor and an attorney, I think is the idea, and kind of mm-hmm. really go through different products out there and what they can do and how you'd work with them. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. So Flo is just a phenomenal person. I met her through LinkedIn. I've never met in person. And she's got a lot of energy and interest and has a passion for legal technology. And so we were talking about, well, how can we help people learn more, and came up with the idea of this showcase. And yeah, it's a great half hour with Flo, who brings her perspective and her energy, and then another guest panelist, and they just kind of talk with a representative of one of the contract tech companies about their product, ask questions, and it's just a great way to kind of showcase some of the great contract tech products out there.
Yeah. Is there kind of a single piece of advice you can offer lawyers around this whole area of drafting and negotiating contracts? Or maybe to put it a different way, what's the biggest thing lawyers do wrong, or the biggest mistake they make in drafting and negotiating contracts?
Yeah, it's, for me, there's a clear winner there. And it's my advice is say everything once. The most problems I've seen over my 25 plus year career on contracts is when there's people cover concepts multiple places, a little bit different each time. So lawyers have a tendency to put language in just in case. But often if you've got language that conflicts with something you said in another provision, that's where most of the disputes are created and stem from. So if there's only one thing people remember, it's say everything once and only once.
It's so hard for lawyers to do.
Exactly.
I really appreciate your taking the time to talk about this today. Anything else that you'd like to say about How to Contract?
Yeah, I think if people are interested, you can check out howtocontract.com and see all the what we have to offer. And then definitely I encourage everybody to, you know, connect with me, follow me on LinkedIn, and because that's really where you can get a daily dose of contract tips. Oh, and I didn't mention I actually create a cartoon for every post. These are ones that I create myself, and they're little one scene cartoons with characters that are recurring, and they're silly and ridiculous, but kind of talk about the, you know, lawyer humor and contract humor, which most people outside our world don't necessarily appreciate. But right. I think a lot of people enjoy the cartoons at the very least.
Yeah. Is the LinkedIn group something that people can easily find? You said it's a closed group. Is it easy to find?
It is. It's well, the way it works is anybody who becomes a member is invited into the group.
I see.
And then I did start a How to Contract job exchange where anyone, and that's open to the world, where we post contract heavy jobs that we see on LinkedIn, and that way they're all collected there, and people can keep an eye there for if they're looking for roles that are contract heavy.
Well, Laura, congratulations on this. It's a really, really interesting platform that you've developed here, a really interesting concept. And as you approach 1 year of doing it, that's quite a milestone. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's been an exciting ride.
Well, thanks for joining me today, and hope you stay well.
You too. Thanks again.
Our guest today was Laura Frederick, founder of How to Contract, a learning platform that trains lawyers and professionals how to draft and negotiate contracts in the real world. Find out more at howtocontract.com. Big thanks to Laura for taking the time to join me today and to share her story with all of our listeners. What are your thoughts on today's show? Share them by tweeting us at LawNext Podcast. LawNext is produced, engineered, and edited by Populous Radio. I'm your host, Bob Ambrogi. I hope you'll join us again next time for another episode of LawNext.